هيا على الفلاح.
Ya'juj and Ma'juj are two tribes. Are they human beings or are they a different creation?
Ya'juj and Ma'juj are human beings. They are tribes that actually exist on earth. And when they come out, they're going to come out so quickly and so fast that you will not be able to stand in front of them. You have to run away from them.
And when Ya'juj and Ma'juj come out, they would pour from every direction.
They are just very, very corrupted. They are more corrupted than the corruptive people of today. Immoral, no principles, nothing. And when they come out, they just destroy. They destroy, rob, rape, kill, murder, all of these things. And they just worry about, they want to be the leaders of the world. Anyone heard of Dhul Qarnayn?
Dhul Qarnayn is a king who lived thousands of years ago. He doesn't even exist in written history.
It speaks about Dhul Qarnayn as being that king. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes him as a just and fair leader who used to say, whoever does good, then we will reward him. And whoever does wrong, then we will punish him, a punishment in this earth, and in the hereafter will be punished by his Lord, a punishment that is unheard of. Dhul Qarnayn reached the farthest land. He said he found people there.
These people were complaining to Dhul Qarnayn. They were saying that Ya'juj and Ma'juj are causing so much corruption, we want you to establish a dam that would seal them away from us.
He built a dam, something that was so strong, so impermeable, that nothing can reach and nothing can come, nothing can break it down anymore. No climate, no people, no weaponry, nothing.
Ya'juj and Ma'juj, we have no clue where they are. They're somewhere in the east because Rasulullah ﷺ pointed that they're coming out from the east of Medina. But where exactly? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, because Dhul Qarnayn did his job so well, he sealed it off completely. Rasulullah ﷺ says, every day Ya'juj and Ma'juj are piercing through this barrier. One night, when they're done with their work, and they have just a little bit left, their leader would say, let's come back and finish it tomorrow. They would come back tomorrow and find that it was sealed off again. Until when their term is appointed and allows them to come out, they would dig through it, and then their leader will say, tomorrow we're going to come back and inshallah we're going to complete digging it. So they will say inshallah. Next day they will come and they will open up the seal and they would come out. Ya'juj and Ma'juj are two tribes. Are they human beings or are they a different creation? Are they sons of Adam? They are definitely descendants of Adam. They are human beings, mankind. And the evidence is in a hadith in Bukhari. On the Day of Judgment, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell Adam, O Adam, send out the portion of your children to hellfire. A portion of the sons of Adam would go to Jannah and a portion would go to hellfire. So Allah is telling the father of all human beings, separate the portion of hellfire out of your descendants. Separate them. Put the people of hellfire on one side. Adam doesn't know who belongs to hellfire, so he asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is the portion of my descendants that are going to hellfire? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will tell him, out of every 1,999. Out of every 1,000 human beings, 999 are going to hellfire. This was a shock on the Sahaba. And Rasulullah ﷺ saw it on their faces. The Sahaba were very sensitive. When they heard this hadith, the color of their faces changed. They weren't talking anymore, they were silent. Rasulullah ﷺ noticed that. And then they asked, who of us will guarantee that they will be one out of 1,000? I mean, the chance is so slim. Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم told them, فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ مِنْ يَأْجُوجَ وَمَأْجُوجَ 999 وَمِنْكُمْ وَاحِدٌ. Out of Ya'juj, 999, and out of the rest is one. And Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم says in another hadith, Ya'juj and Ma'juj, if they are put with any group, they would make it a lot. I mean, the ratio would always be on their side because of their numbers. So many of them. They multiply so much, there is a narration that says that when one of them dies, they would have left behind 1,000 descendants by the time they die. But this is a narration, it could be weak. Anyway, they multiply so much. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned in the Quran, and when Ya'juj and Ma'juj come out, they would pour from every direction. From everywhere they're going to be pouring down, swarming from every direction. So the numbers are huge. This hadith indicates that there are sons of Adam, because this order was given to Adam. Allah is telling him, send out the portion of your descendants that belong to hellfire.
And when they come out, they're going to come out so quickly and so fast that you will not be able to stand in front of them. You have to run away from them. Ya'juj and Ma'juj are human beings. They are tribes that actually exist on earth. They existed close to the time of Musa alayhi salam, in an era of a great, great king named Dhulqarnain. Anyone heard of Dhulqarnain?
Dhulqarnain is a king who lived thousands of years ago. He doesn't even exist in written history. Dhulqarnain is a king who ruled the world, or the inhabited part of the world in that time. That's how they say he picked up the name Dhulqarnain. Dhulqarnain means two horns. Some of the Mufassirin say it means the east and the west. He ruled the east and the west.
The point is that Dhulqarnain was an extremely powerful king, and he was a worshipper of Allah, a righteous, just Muslim king, among the best that ever existed on earth. And he had so much power, so much authority, that his kingdom reached almost the whole world. Why do I say almost? Because there were parts of the world where civilization hadn't reached yet, as today. But whatever existed in that time, wherever civilization reached, Dhulqarnain had power to there, right to the end part of civilization. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about Dhulqarnain in Surah Al-Kahf. You'll find Surah Al-Kahf mentioning so much, that's why it's so important in relation to Ad-Dajjal. It speaks about Dhulqarnain as being that king, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes him, as I said, as a just and fair leader who used to say, whoever does good, then we will reward him, and whoever does wrong, then we will punish him, a punishment in this earth, and in the hereafter will be punished by his Lord, a punishment that is unheard of. So he was very strict on laws that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent down. And he was very rewarding and generous for those who do good. So everybody loved him. And he brought justice this way. Very harsh on the wrong and very generous on the good. And Allah tells us about Dhulqarnain, describing his amount of kingdom, saying that, you know, in a very allegorical, beautiful way of language in the Quran, saying that Dhulqarnain, he reached a very far distance in land. He used to go around the whole world to see who is being oppressed, who is doing good to reward them, bringing justice between people. He used to physically go out with his army like that, looking everywhere as far as he can. That's what he spent his life in, traveling the world and applying justice and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala everywhere he went. So Allah describes one of his journeys by saying that he went one time to establish justice. And when he reached, Allah says in the Quran, when he reached the place of the setting of the sun, he found it setting in a murky pond or in a murky water. He found the sun setting there, meaning there was no more land beyond where he reached. Dhulqarnain reached the farthest land where nobody could reach. There was no more civilization after there. That's what that verse is talking about. He said he found people there.
The people who were living there were people who could barely speak, or Dhulqarnain could barely understand them. They asked Dhulqarnain to build for them a sad. Sad is a dam. Because they were complaining of two tribes. They said, Ya'juj and Ma'juj are corrupting our land. We are going to pay you money if you are going to make a wall between us and them, a dam. These people were complaining to Dhulqarnain. They were saying that Ya'juj and Ma'juj are causing so much corruption, we want you to establish a dam that would seal them away from us. And we are going to pay you. Dhulqarnain said, I don't need your money. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me enough wealth. But I want you to help me with your manpower. Give me the raw material of iron. And then he made it as a barrier between the two mountains. He used that iron to build the dam between the two mountains, and he ordered them to warm it up, to heat it until it melted, and then he poured on it qitra. Now qitra is explained as either lead or copper. Now when you mix steel with lead or copper, you get either brass or bronze. And both of them are better than if he left it as steel alone. So he made this compound, he mixed the iron or the steel with brass or copper. There's a difference of opinion of what qitr exactly means. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that he didn't only build a sad, because a sad means a dam, but he built radma. Radm is something that seals off completely. A sad is a horizontal barrier, but it is open on the top, so they could climb over it. Those people, they asked Dhulqarnain to build them a sad. All what we want you to do is build a wall. He went further, and this is ihsan, perfection. He didn't only do what they asked him to do, but he did it better, he did more. He built a radm, and a radm is something that sealed them off completely from the face of the earth. So Dhulqarnain sealed off Ya'juj wa Ma'juj. Therefore, we cannot really see them now, we don't know where they are, because they are completely sealed off. They are sealed off somewhere underground. Ya'juj and Ma'juj, we have no clue where they are. They're somewhere in the east, because Rasulullah ﷺ pointed that they're coming out from the east of Medina. But where exactly? Only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows, because Dhulqarnain did his job so well, he sealed it off completely.
So the whole idea here, Allah is telling us that he built a wall or a barrier or a dam, something that was so strong, so impermeable, that nothing can reach and nothing can come, nothing can break it down anymore. No climate, no people, no weaponry, nothing. No one was able to break through it, and no one was able to overpower it. It was such a strong wall, impermeable to anything. And when Dhulqarnain looked at the people, they looked at this wall and they said, wow, this is a very strong wall. And Dhulqarnain wanted to teach them a lesson. Finally, he said, قَالَ هَذَا رَحْمَةٌ مِّن رَبِّي. He said, this is from the mercy of my Lord. What's the mercy here? That he allowed us to prevent you from the corruption of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Then he said, this wall has been built there, it's strong. This is a mercy from your Lord for now. But when the promise of my Lord has arrived, Allah has decreed something that's going to happen. Allah will make this wall destroyed. He will destroy it, meaning it will be level with the ground. The promise of my Lord is truly going to come, no doubt. What is he saying here? He's saying that the Ya'juj and Ma'juj will be blocked off the world until a certain time that is going to come. Allah, it is only Allah who will destroy, who will allow for this wall to be destroyed. And when it is destroyed, this Ya'juj and Ma'juj will come out. He said, and so we left them, Ya'juj and Ma'juj. We left them. And we left the people like this, in this way, and they living among one another. So no one has been able to break through this wall ever since. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best exactly where they are.
Until the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, this perfect seal, this perfect wall that I built, will be leveled to the ground one day. Even though it's the best I could do, but he said that one day this will be leveled to the ground. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, every day Ya'juj and Ma'juj are piercing through this barrier. One night, when they're done with their work, and they have just a little bit left, their leader would say, let's come back and finish it tomorrow. They would come back tomorrow and find that it was sealed off again. So they dig. They dig it all the way until they're almost there, and then they leave. They come tomorrow, next day, and they find out that it was sealed as if it was new. Rasulullah ﷺ says, until one day, until when their term is appointed, and Allah asks them to come out, they would dig through it, and then their leader will say, tomorrow we're going to come back, and inshallah, we're going to complete digging it. So they will say, inshallah. Next day they will come, and they will open up the seal, and they would come out. Now by the way, in the time of Rasulullah ﷺ, a small, very small opening occurred in that seal. Because Rasulullah ﷺ was smiling, and then suddenly his face changed.
He was concerned, shocked. And he said, woe to the Arabs from a bad thing that has come very near. Today, the wall of Ya'juj and Ma'juj has been opened as much as this. And he made a ring with his fingers. He said, this much has been passed through the wall of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. Now, what does this mean? Does that mean that Ya'juj and Ma'juj have already pecked through the wall since that time? Allahu A'lam. What it means though is that it is close. How are they breaking through? Allahu A'lam. How much of it is actually now open? Allahu A'lam. But the point is, when it's finally opened and Ya'juj and Ma'juj are able to come out, it'll be the time when Allah has decreed and they will come out. And this is the way it will happen when the day comes. First of all, Ya'juj and Ma'juj are unable to get out of there. Number one, as we said before, they are a very primitive people. Their understanding of technology is not like ours. They don't know what's going on in the world right now. They don't have computers, they don't have airplanes, they don't have these weaponry we have. They have nothing. And they are between mountains. These mountains are covered with such bad climate that if they try to go up these mountains, they'll die. So they can't go around or on top of this wall. Some people said this wall is the Great Wall of China. No, it's not the Great Wall of China. For the Great Wall of China is broken. You can easily pass through it, and on top of it, it's a tourist site. Ya'juj and Ma'juj are not behind the Wall of China, nor are they the Chinese people. And some people, they describe them as being short. They're like midgets walking around, and they've got these strange eyes. And this is all rubbish. You know, there's nothing in the hadith that states that they are like that, like aliens or something. They are real human beings from the upper part of the world. They have a certain look, maybe more of an Asian look because it's that region, or more of that type of a look. Allahu A'lam. But the point is, they are people. They are humans like you and us. But they are just very, very corruptive. They are more corruptive than the corruptive people of today. Immoral. No principles. Nothing. And when they come out, they just destroy. They destroy, rob, rape, kill, murder, all of these things. And they just worry about, they want to be the leaders of the world. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam tells us, these Ya'juj and Ma'juj will come out in a time where Isa alayhi salam has already descended. Isa alayhi salam will be among us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send Jibreel alayhi salam to Isa to tell him alayhi salam
that there is a creation of mine that are coming out. Nobody can fight them and stand against them. So take my servants to At-Tur in Palestine, and save them from Ya'juj and Ma'juj. So Isa will take all of the believers and they would hide in Jerusalem. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, the army would march. They would come to the lake of Tabariya in Palestine. They would start drinking from the lake. By the time the back rows of the army arrive, the lake would be empty. And they would say, once there was water over here, what happened to it? Where is all of the water? There are so many, and they are eating and drinking everything, that they would just drink this whole lake. Rasulullah ﷺ says, Ya'juj and Ma'juj are going to surround the believers. They're going to besiege them. And this siege would be so hard on them, on Isa and his Sahaba, that a head of an ox would be more value to them than 100 dinar is to you now. Now 100 dinar in the time of Rasulullah was a lot of money. Now a head of an ox, nowadays we throw the head, we don't even eat it anymore. A head of an ox would be so much value to them because of the scarcity of, they have no food, no drink, things are becoming so difficult on them that if they have a head of an ox, they would treasure it just like 100 dinar or more.
There are so many, my dear brothers and sisters, Ya'juj and Ma'juj. If they are human like us, have prophets come to them? Of course. We don't know which prophet, but we do know they are close to the time of Musa alayhi salam. But Allah tells us there isn't a single nation except that a prophet has come to them. So they did get a prophet, but they rebelled. If you look in all the prophets, there were only two prophets that are mentioned to us whose people accepted him. The rest all rejected him and they were destroyed. And Ya'juj and Ma'juj are offsprings, obviously, of nations. They're non-Arab. They don't specify what they are, but they're non-Arab nations who betrayed their prophets in the past. So they are a large amount. They're actually mentioned in the Quran. Behold, the day when Ya'juj and Ma'juj are released. وَهُمْ مِنْ كُلِّ حَدَبٍ يَنْسِلُونَ The word hadab, he says, they will be from every hadab, crawling, walking. They'll be there. What does hadab mean? Hadab means every place on earth, whether low or high, they will reach it. and they will be there. And what this really means is that they will come out from a very rough and rigid place. It doesn't mean that they will enter every single area of the world, even though the meaning seems that way. But what it means is that when they come out, you will see them coming out from places that have high and low cliffs. So they'll come out from a very rugged area. Where they are right now, it's cliffs and hills and mountains and valleys. So Allah is telling us, they will initially come out from valleys and mountains and rough terrain, and they'll come out and disperse in the world. It doesn't necessarily mean that they will go to every part of the world, but what it means is that they'll come out from those rigid and rugged terrains. Hadad means rugged and rigid terrains. And he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they will pass by the ocean or the sea of Tabariyyah. Do you know where Tabariyyah is? It is close to Asham, to Syria, where Jordan is in Syria, in that area. And what happens there? Buhayra means a small sea. So bigger than a lake, smaller than a sea. Huge area, probably a few kilometers in diameter and circumference. They will drink every bit of water that's in it. Okay, this indicates that they are phenomenally large population.
Isa would make dua, and the Muslims would make dua. So Allah would destroy Ya'juj and Ma'juj by sending on them worms, insects, that would enter into their necks and kill them. And it would kill them all. It would be an epidemic that would kill them all. The whole nations of Ya'juj and Ma'juj, these two tribes, would be exterminated. Well, that doesn't solve the problem yet. Isa and his followers, they would come out from Jerusalem, because now they're safe. But there isn't a spot on the face of the earth that is not covered by the decomposed bodies of Ya'juj and Ma'juj. There's so many of them, and they're spread all over the world, that the whole earth is contaminated because of the smell of their rotten bodies. Therefore, Isa would have to make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala again to help them. Ya'juj and Ma'juj are a harm to the Muslims, dead and alive. Isa and the Muslims, they would make dua, so Allah would send birds that are so big, their necks are like the necks of camels. And they would pick up these bodies and throw them away. And then Allah would send rain that would wash the earth and leave it clean as a mirror.
So Ya'juj and Ma'juj, there's another hadith that says when they come out, they will fight the people of anyone in front, they'll kill them. So there will be non-Muslims that they'll be hiding. They won't kill everyone. But anyone in front of them, they'll kill them. And they'll only survive for a few days or months. Not days, maybe months on earth. There's no clear indication of this, but we say months because of the hadith that says that the Muslims will be in such a difficult time. Food will run out, money would run out, so they'll still be here for a little while. And after they think they killed all the people of earth, they turn their arrows to the sky and they return with blood on them. And they say, we have now killed the people of the sky. We are now the kings of earth. But then Allah perishes them. This is Ya'juj and Ma'juj. What's the wisdom behind it? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but they are one of the major signs that the end of the world has come very, very near. Very near at the time of Ya'juj and Ma'juj.